Hello and welcome to a special live episode of the Fabulous Pelton Cast. I'm your co-host Kevin Pelton,
and I'm Tristan Carcino.
We are coming to you live from Barboza, site of the second annual PeltonCast live show, and we've got a great show for you tonight. Jake One is here.
Woo!
DJ Infrared is here.
Woo!
We've got Isabel Manazian delivering live M's Hot Takes, and I apologize because I didn't get a chance to get the pronunciation there, and I may have just butchered it, so sorry if that. And, of course, our friends Tasteful Profanity, a Beast Prod production, to help us preview the 2018 Seahawks season. But first,
you know what we had to do.
If you guys were here last year, you know what we like doing.
We may have been searching for Seattle's best burrito / taco this summer, but as you may have seen from this apron Kevin is wearing,
you may have guessed.
Hopefully everybody out there went and got the PeltonCast burger from our good friends at Lil Woody's. There we go. You know what we had to do to begin the show.
We do. I think it's that time. That might be the cue.
Can we welcome out our friends? There it is. All right. Hello. Is there anybody out there who's hungry right now? I haven't even looked in this bag. We don't. Oh my God, this is a lot of burgers.
Is there, we have
Some burgers courtesy of our good friends at Lil Woody's. It was a lot easier to throw burgers. There you go. It was a lot easier to throw burgers to the crowd when you could actually see the crowd at a much smaller venue. There we go. Jan, there you are. There's some ketchups here too. That's I'll put those there. Feel free to come up. This is a lot of burgers.
So many. Is there another bag?
Oh my God. There we go. Right there? There we go. Who else out there? Who else out there? By show of woo, who wants a burger? Okay, this is the last bag. We're running out of burgers, and we don't have any more food to give out. Anyway, there you go. Oh, not good. Is this, are people burgered out?
No.
Okay. Where else? There you go. Kevin, you're going into the crowd? Hand delivering burgers? Over here. We have a few more. Right? That you're going for number two? All right.
Well, who's doubling up? Oh, for sure. 100%.
All right. There you go. That burger. This is the last burger we have.
No.
That might be the last burger.
This is the perfect skipping rock.
That one had a ketchup packet stuck to it. Okay. Yeah, no. Okay, we have two more burgers. Anybody out there? You. There we go. I said it was by show of woo. What was this last burger? Anybody, courtesy of our good friends at Lil Woody's, thank you so much for supporting the PeltonCast with the Burger of the Week last week, bringing Rainier Tallboys to Lil Woody's for the first time ever, something Barboza wouldn't do for this podcast.
Full page ad, you're welcome.
Yes. Anybody want this last burger? Kevin, you're going to have to eat it.
Yeah.
Oh, you want... You're like, sure, I'll eat a burger. We might have too much food.
We really might.
Okay. Whew.
All right, well, sadly, we do not have Rainier Tall Boys, but does everyone have something to drink? Because it's time for a toast. A toast to perhaps the finest soccer player the USA has ever produced, who he knew that the show was tonight and decided to announce his retirement this morning. So a toast to Clint Dempsey. Toast to Deuce.
Are we gonna toast? We're gonna toast.
Hold on, I forgot to get to that.
Okay, there we go.
A toast to that face, the Deuce face in particular. All right, one other piece of business before we get started here. Everyone see the bingo cards on your seat. So that is our friend Ben B. No bigger supporter of the Pelton cast than Ben B. Created the bingo card last fall, or two falls ago. And then also we got a crossover because you've done the Tasteful Profanity bingo. So use the stickers on the left there to mark out any time we talk about one of the topics on the bingo card. For example, we may already have hit burgers in beer. I think you can already mark those two out. Those are free spaces, basically.
You can mark with whatever stickers you'd like. It's not particular. But when you get a bingo, no matter what we're talking about, interrupt us, yell bingo as loud as you can, and the winner will get a Pelton Cast hat. People like that way more than they like Little Woody's Burgers.
I mean, we didn't advertise 35 hats. All right, with that said, now it's time to talk taco time. Our third Pelton brother tonight is one of Seattle's most prominent DJs, best known for his collaborations with local rappers Ryan Caraveo and Grinch. You may also know him as the co-host of the long-running Sunday Night Sound Session program on Cube 93 before it came to an end last year. And most importantly, while listening to the inaugural episode of Talkin' Taco Time, he once tweeted, "I'm really sitting here listening to a podcast about Taco Time. What is my life?" Well, now he's on a podcast about Taco Time. So please welcome DJ Infrared. Also, where's Chris?
Yeah. And we can also welcome our resident Taco Time expert. He did two stints at Taco Time. He left once and came right back. We have to give us details about what the menu items actually are, because we don't know a lot of the time. Chris Smith.
Oh, what's a soft burrito? I don't know. I just have a podcast about Taco Time.
All right, we start as usual by asking you to tell us a little bit about your Taco Time credentials.
My Taco Time credentials. Well, I moved from New York City to Redmond in 1990. And since then, Taco Time, Taco Bell is to me, you know, I feel like Taco Time is like the healthier choice.
This is going to be a problem for our Talkin' Taco Bell podcast.
I know.
Coming soon.
But for whatever reason, I've rationalized in my head that Taco Time is when I'm trying to do something healthy, which doesn't make any sense when you actually think about it.
It checks out.
It's good, fresh.
Somehow fresh became healthy.
So someone who does not live in Seattle, did not know Taco Time, but had listened to the podcast, was like, it sounds like everything there is fried. And I was like, no. That's just all the stuff we order there.
Yeah, there's some healthy alternatives once you get, like, if you're in the teens with the combos, you know. But I never get that far. I keep it single digits at Taco Time.
Okay, so what is your go-to order?
I typically get the number one with chicken. Then depending on
that's the soft burrito.
Yeah, the soft burrito. Sorry, yeah, for the uninitiated.
It's for
this
them.
Is what you're here for. Yeah.
to translate for the layman. Then depending on how many meals I've had prior to my trip will determine how many soft tacos accompany it.
Nice.
And if I get another order of Mexi fries along with the one that comes with the combo.
Wow.
Then, kind of knowing how I'm going to be for like the hour after when like you eat taco time and then like an hour later you're like, I kind of want some more.
I want some more taco time. Yeah. Yes.
There'll be like either half of a soft taco and then I'll have the churros for a proper dessert ready as well.
Nice. So.
Yeah, nice. I'm spending in the $15 to $20 range.
Just for you.
Taco. Just for me, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
I like to eat. I don't know if people can notice that. But yeah.
If you hit the Taco Time drive-thru about 10:30 a.m. on a Sunday, like you can be in and out of there in 5 minutes with yeah. all the food you need for the rest of the day.
Yeah. Typically, yeah, if I go there, I'm only there on Sundays. If, you know, that's probably the only day I'll be at that time, and it depends on Seahawks kickoff. You know, if I've got an East Coast time, then I don't have to worry about it till like 1. Then I'll stock like for the day. But if I got like halftime to get something, then I got to make sure that I'm in and out of there because I've noticed that a lot of people do the same thing at my taco time.
Yeah, you can't be the only one who had that thought.
What is your local taco time?
Currently, the local taco time for me is a combination between the Burien and the White Center one. Mm.
The White Center, the original.
The original.
Taco time, Northwest location.
The very flagship one.
It's still in the same place?
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't around in 1962, so...
Yeah, I can't...
Our mom might be able to speak to that.
It hasn't moved from when I've known it to be there.
So which one do you prefer, the Burien or the White Center?
It depends on the mood that I'm in. If I'm feeling like less than a great citizen, I'll probably go to the Burien one. The White Center one's going through some changes. The White Center's a neighborhood is going through changes. There's a brunch crowd. I don't know if people are aware that White Center's a brunch crowd now.
Just a little Woody's.
But yeah, I prefer the way they make the food at White Center one, though. Like, they've got a younger staff there. Huh. And so there's like a little more zest for the
more
passion
analysis.
For the food there.
Yeah, there's a little bit more joy day taco time.
It's funny because the lady I used to work with back in the day at Taco Time, she is the manager at Burien.
Is the Burien one the Ambom location? This is getting way too into it.
Yeah, it's like Ambom.
The Ambom location, and there's no drive-thru, right?
Shouts to Travis Thompson.
There is a drive-thru.
I don't know if it's always been there, but okay. It's a very... Taco Time,
it's
I think...
It's like across from a key bank.
Yeah, like Taco Time is probably the number one
it's
chain.
It's across from a Mexican restaurant,
yeah,
actually.
It's across from a place that I should be going to get...
A super authentic one.
Yeah. I'm going with the replica jersey instead of the authentic one every time I go there. But I think Taco Time, pound for pound, is the franchise with the most awkward drive-through configurations. You know, I think, rest in peace to the one in Georgetown, I think that one had a right-hand drive-through. You would order through the passenger side, I believe.
Can we pour some out for the Georgetown location? Yeah. That was a go-to spot for me.
Rest in peace. I think there's a refinery there now, so...
And then shout out to the downtown Bellevue Taco Time, which does not have a drive-thru.
Yes, it's a snooty one.
It's a fancy taco.
Somehow snootier than the one on 45th.
All right, thoughts on Taco Time Ice?
I love Taco Time Ice. The funny thing was, you had posed the question, I think, in the second one, if the White Center one with the freestyle machine has the ice. It does, but... Sometimes I've been there twice and it didn't have the ice.
Wow.
Yeah.
It didn't have any ice
It had cubes of ice and really? I was confused. I don't know. It was later in the day, so maybe they made a run somewhere else.
Yeah, someone
unauthorized ice run.
Someone tweeted us last week about a location that does not have Taco Time ice. And let me tell you, we're taking this one all the way to the top.
Yeah.
Where is that?
Yeah.
Stanwood?
They just got regular.
I will not be going there.
All right, Stanwood Taco Time's canceled.
Yeah.
But
that's a probationary. It's got a 4-game suspension.
Because the ice comes from a separate machine and then they just dump a bucket in the top.
Yeah, well, I think that's the way it is for all the ice. You can't create the ice in the freestyle machine.
Right.
It's tan put in there. Which actually, I went today, and they were refilling it, And I was kind of like looking through the drive-through, like more attentively than anyone should. So it kind of probably looked weird. And I was like looking at them refilling the ice, and I was like, oh, I'm kind of. Know the process of that now.
Yeah, that's how they knew you were a Talking Taco Time listener.
Yeah, I felt like I needed like a credential or something.
T-shirt, maybe?
Yeah, I know. I might need the T-shirt.
They never care, no matter how many times I wear that shirt there.
Cool cactus, bro. Yeah. Yeah. Guac is $1.50.
You could show up with like Pat. You could show up with Pat Cashman and they wouldn't care. They'd be like, who's this guy? Okay, whatever.
Sometimes I think when I'm going to Taco Time, and there's a lot of young people there, there's a person training, and I order outlandish things like Mexi fries in a soft taco. This weekend, the kid was like, I got you. he was like, this is not a thing that anybody has ever done.
So you went back, you've done it since the...
Oh, absolutely. I've done it. I'm going to do it every single time I go there.
He basically hit you with the respect.
What location is this, though?
This is at the Fairwood location.
Okay, because it's a roll of the dice to go off menu at White Center.
Yeah. It was kind of a roll of the dice to go off menu.
You're either going to short out what they're capable of, or they're going to be completely excited that you
If you want to go off menu, I think Fairwood's a good spot. And then also Tukwila by the Home Depot there off of 180th. Yeah, SeaTac, Berrien, White Center.
I mean, SeaTac denied my request for Mexi Fry Nachos, so we'll
you might
see.
Have to.
We're
going to
take that. We've got a lot of things to take to the top.
We do.
And in general, if it's like a late Friday, you got to go to one that's by a high school. They're more willing to deal with that kind of.
Well, I feel like I'm training the kids. I'm like, it's good that I asked for this crazy shit right now because you're learning.
Yeah, well, and they're just used to it. Like, I went to Redmond, and we'd always go to the Taco Time afterwards, and it would be the most outlandish orders. Like, we probably invented the freestyle machine. I was just like, yeah, you put, like, a quarter of this and half of this and half of this in the drink, and, you know.
Okay. Wait, okay. So you're saying that you Jake Wund the freestyle machine? Saying,
but there's no particular formula that I invented, though. It was just kind of like.
Did Jake Wund invent the crisp chicken burrito?
So. Jake told me this story probably like 7 years ago because it's that important to him.
The story proceeds.
And I've heard it verified from at least enough people to where
it's
lore. Like, who else would invent? Like, that's my number one thing. Who would invent that at that time?
It's
like, who would think of that?
Not a person at Taco Time corporate.
Yeah.
Now he was like, we already have beef crisp burritos.
And his story has never changed.
Why don't we put chicken in there?
Yeah.
Well, we'll see if it changes later tonight.
Maybe. It hasn't changed in years. It's the same defiant. Like, I think you made, like, what, 30 and just dipped with them? Like, on your last day? Like, as a rebellious act. Like, he made his own severance package of crisp burritos.
That's the greatest golden parachute I've ever heard of.
I'm regretting both times I've quit Taco Time.
So many times!
You're going to have to start working there again just to be able to do this.
He'll be back. Don't worry.
Go back and quit on the first day in style.
Have you ever been to the fake Taco Time, Taco Time International?
I have. I've been to a couple of them in Arizona.
What kind?
I think one in Utah.
You went back after a first time.
So when you're on tour, food options become very limited and structured around how much gas you have left in your vehicle. So if you go to a gas station that also has a Taco Time International attached to it, then
you're going to Taco Time International.
You're kind of a prisoner of the moment. So I try to like get the most rudimentary thing there that like they can't. That's why I stick with the number one, because it feels like that's you can't stray too far from that simplicity. But if I'm going to start getting exotic with it, I know I'm going to get disappointed there. It's still not the same, though. It's just, it's not made with love. That's the main thing.
Absolutely.
It also could be because it's made at a gas station in the middle of Arizona. But just doesn't taste the same way. It doesn't taste like.
At Taco Time Northwest.
It's not as artisan.
Would never be at a gas station.
Yeah, no.
Every single item is made with love.
Yeah.
Even the healthy stuff.
Yeah, the quote-unquote healthy stuff. Do they actually put the calories on the menu, though? Because I feel like if they did...
I think it's a requirement. Yeah, but it's on there now.
It's not a requirement that you look, though.
Yeah, definitely. I really zoom by it.
I actually don't think I've looked at the menu in years. I think I just go and order, and I'm on my phone. I don't look, you know, you kind of know.
Yeah, it's definitely on the website, the calories. Definitely is there.
That's just too much effort for me.
Do we have another official Taco Time questions?
I think that's pretty much it. Unless is there a favorite of yours that you used to get at Taco Time that's no longer on the menu?
I'm usually the guy that if I find something that I like, I will stick with it. So straying outside of like the number one or the soft tacos, I think the thing, I don't off menu it as much just because I feel like I care too much about the rejection more. So like if I'm like, hey, can I get some of the Mexi fries in the burrito? And I hear a no, I feel like I just have to like leave entirely without the food. Like I'm being thrown out.
It's a real retreat or a surrender to order something else then.
Yeah, I can't deal with that kind of rejection. Like,
okay, so guess I'll get it without the Mexi fries.
I think it's an ego thing.
I've done this a lot of times. It's their problem, not you. It's not you and Fred.
I may have summoned a manager group? In my past life when the off menu was not honored. I think I was 22. But.
You got to make sure you order around someone that maybe looks like they're important. Make sure they're like standing by when you're at, like you have the young kid. You're like, can I get this? And they're like, nah. But then, you know, if someone hears that. Like a veteran like myself, I'd be like, hey, they can get whatever they want.
The customer is always right.
Yeah. And then now, like with the new, back in the day, it was like the stupid buttons, and you're like, I don't know. Now there's like a button for everything, literally. Add Mexi fries. I didn't have that back
the touch
in
the screen.
I want to tell them. I'm
now
like,
they can just
I'm
be like boom,
Chris knows there's an add Mexi fries button.
Yeah.
You don't have to say, I got you. I'm like, I talked to Chris.
Back in the day, it would be like, we'll do that, but what do we want to charge for that?
Yeah.
53 cents? Well, I think it should be 48 cents. And then with the tax, it works. Okay, yeah. So it's going to be 53 cents for that one. Miscellaneous extra. Maria, on this one, can you add 4 Mexi fries in it? 7 Mexi fries in it. That's a good deal, I think.
I think the thing I miss the most, I had two friends that worked at the Redmond one when I went there in high school. So there was a lot of order for one, get food for 5.
The hookup.
Yeah, especially during lunch. I was banned from being off campus.
I thought you were going to say you were
lunch.
Banned from Taco Time.
No, no, not from Taco Time.
I wanted to hear
that
story
be more tragic.
So badly.
But I was banned from going in my senior year, going off campus for lunch. And they had the security guard at the exit, so I'd have to hide in the trunk of my friend's car.
Wow.
Whenever we would go off campus for lunch. But then that made me in charge of bringing back. So I'd be in the trunk coming back in with like 5 or 6 people's worth of Taco Time. And Mexi fries would come up missing and things like that. You know, there's a tax. I'm there. I'm providing a service.
That's a lot of cash, too.
Like. Yeah, I mean, it adds up. It adds up over time.
All right.
Well, you mentioned the hookup. I mean, it's really a shame, given that we're talking Taco Time. We had the little Woodies. Wouldn't it be great if we also had some Taco Time?
That would be great. That's a great idea.
What do you think? Would people be interested in Taco Time?
I'm going to hook you guys up.
Uh-oh.
Go hit some buttons.
I'm going to add Mexi fries. It's
yeah, can I put in a special order? I feel like if they were really ahead of the game, the app.
Oh, my God.
Ordering from an app would be amazing.
There we go.
Wait, where did these come from?
Nobody's hungry anymore. We told people to come hungry.
You were warned.
Courtesy of our friends at Taco Time Northwest, we have here Chris Chicken and Chris Bean Burritos.
No, Chris Beef. Chris Beef.
Oh, sorry. Chris beef and crisp bean burritos because we're inclusive.
We didn't get the clearance from Jake to make the chicken.
All right, Chris is going to go through. If you need ketchup, it's right here. Delivering personally. He's hired for the third time.
There you go.
Personally delivering the taco time.
Unfortunately, he's only getting paid in PBR tonight.
Thank you so much for joining us. And for any final thoughts on Taco Time Northwest?
I want to know the architect of the one on 45th because...
The Wallingford
so
one.
So I have plans on winning Powerball eventually one day.
There we go.
When I do, my house will look like the Taco Time. Because it looks like Superman's Taco Time. Like, if the Fortress of Solitude was a Taco Time, it would be the one on 45th.
We're going to have, at some point, an entire episode of Talking Taco Time devoted to the Wallingford Fortress.
We have a Taco Time correspondent for a reason.
That is true.
Which, speaking of which, you know, I talked about on the Taco Time for Kids episode how many Taco Time playing cards I had. Is anybody out there interested in some Taco Time playing cards? Because I wasn't joking about having a lot of them. Okay, Randy,
not
I promised
we
you
have
one.
Burritos.
There we go. Are you still eating your Lowities? There we go. I've got two other Taco Time kids playing cards for anybody who can name their favorite Taco Time item by show of yelling. There we go.
Boom.
I don't know about the Baja Taco, though.
It should have been a Baja California burrito.
Crustos. There
Crustos.
It is. All right. Enjoy those cards. Wow, we went through those tacos really fast. Did everybody in the back get to eat?
They got little woodies.
Okay.
Don't believe them.
Okay.
Definitely don't believe her.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
For
thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, now we are going to welcome in Isabel and John Fraley to the stage for a special edition of your favorite segment.
It's their favorite segment?
It is.
They don't even know it's their favorite segment.
They will soon.
It's a very sad segment tonight.
It is.
Sad? Sad. We're talking about the Mariners. It can't be sad if we're talking about the Mariners.
Hold on a second.
Okay, all right.
Don't burn yourself. We got Mariners hot takes coming at ya.
So, Mariners, are they going to make the playoffs?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. That is for all of you bingo players out there. That's the reckless optimism one.
Wow, really? We thought for sure really? That Mike yes. was going to be ticking really? That bingo square. Yes. I didn't know we were going to get to it this soon.
Not only are the Mariners going to make the playoffs, they're going to win the AL West.
Wait, really?
Welcome. You are welcome.
All right, let's check that. All right, keep going.
All right, well, actually, that's the end of the show, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Good night. Thanks for coming.
All right, thanks, everyone. You got your phone?
I have no idea what these are underneath. Therefore, it checks out.
So here's the deal. The Mariners are going to win the AL West because, you know, Felix has been bouncing on and off out of the rotation in the bullpen. Paxton's coming off the DL, and then Marco's going to come off the DL in a few days. And they're just going to win all the starts.
All of the starts?
Besides one.
Are they going to win entirely one-run games?
Yes.
We go back to the month of April and May?
They're done with that now. It's the new phase of the season. Now we're going to win like 2- and 3-run games.
Because
we haven't tried that yet. You know, the scoring of runs, we haven't been doing that for a while.
I've heard it's overrated.
We're going to try that now for the last 28 games.
Okay.
It's been a strategy, actually, that they've been employing. This is a little bit secret, so I don't want to go past this room, but they've actually been storing up their runs to save it for this final push. And in the meantime...
So like a squirrel saving up nuts for the winter.
Yes. All of those runs are nuts.
So there's something nuts here. That's for sure.
Something's been nuts. Yeah, so they're going to win all the starts but one. There's 28 games left, so you got, what, six turns of the rotation, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 18 turns for Paxton, Marco, and Felix. They're going to go 17-1 in those 18 games. They're going to win their last 11 games and win the AL West.
Okay.
It's very important that you know this.
You heard it here first.
And thank you. I'm trying to create a second bingo. I'm helping you guys out over here.
Okay, besides the pitching, who else? How about among the bats who's going to start down the stretch? Is the Mariners improbably come from behind to win the AL West?
So Nelson Cruz does what he does every year around September, is he puts everyone else in this giant bag like Santa Claus, and he hoists them over his back, and he drags them to the finish line.
See, that was good, but I think the better metaphor would be carrying the bag of little woodies.
Sure, I think we're looking for Mitch Haniger to come back and actually turn it back on again. He's been fine for a while. He's had a monster August, so yeah. He's just going to keep it going.
I think the real trick for the offense is that someone needs to hit Kyle Seager over the head really, really hard, and maybe they put him in a closet for a couple weeks. Maybe he just doesn't appear. Who knows? Just give him some time to sort it out.
Who's playing third then?
Robinson Cano?
Yes.
I went to my first Mariners game
in 3 years, and Robinson Cano is playing for third base. So as far as I know, that happens all the time.
He can play third base and first base.
That's not a small sample size at all.
Now you're just trying.
Sometimes you got to lead into it.
I think if he plays third and first in the same game, that would be good.
We don't have anything for the second bingo. I'm afraid. Congrats.
Are we doing a blackout bingo?
Yeah.
Do you want to offer a tasteful profanity t-shirt to the first person who gets blackout?
I will offer a
all right, let's do that.
T-shirt.
Blackout one bingo. I don't know if we're going to hit all of them, but...
These are really, really gorgeous on everybody except for me.
Actually, also,
they
this doesn't work because there's 25 of the 26 are the same, so everyone's going to get it at the same time. So actually, we can't do that.
I'm just trying to give a shirt away, man.
Do you want to do it for the second bingo?
I'll do it for the second.
All right, let's
bingo.
Do that. Congrats.
All right. Yeah. Woo! 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 Do you have like a shirt for us back there? They're up here. Why don't you tell me anything?
They're right there.
Why don't you ever tell me anything? God.
All right, so when the Mariners get to the playoffs, I mean, sadly, they're not going to play in the play-in game, so we can't talk about who's going to start that. Who gets the game one start? Ooh. Is Felix getting the honorary game one start after this improbable stretch, this comeback that he's making in September?
Absolutely not.
Oh, wow. That was fast.
See, we're on the same page there.
Finally.
I was helping.
Nah, I think Pax has to get it. Pax has to get the start.
Don't mind me. I'm just giving a short. You guys talk.
All right, what other hot takes do we have here?
I mean, you ask who will take over third base once Kyle Seager leaves. My hottest take is that Dee Gordon is going to become the next Ben Zobrist, so he can play anywhere on the field, and he can slot in at third and his noodly arm.
Zobrist, he becomes an all-star too?
Yeah, Ben Zobrist was an all-star. He was worth like four
seven?
Wins.
I thought he was worth seven WAR one year, I think.
Well, no, but
this
no,
I feel like WAR. This is getting too technical for the
I'm
Mariners
sorry.
Hot Take segment.
WAR is good. We want more WAR.
Okay, there we go. Now you're at our level.
That's a lot of hot takes. You need more?
We might have a sufficient amount of hot takes.
I got more. I mean, they're going to win the AL West, right? They're going to win their last 11 games. They're going to. Who else is going to get hot? Eddie Diaz, 61. What is the record for MLB saves?
62. He's going to beat the.
So I can't say.
And then he's going to win Cy Young.
I can't say 61.
He is going to win the Cy Young. That's right.
And because of the 62 saves, he's going to tie the record.
There
also,
you go.
Because realistically speaking, all of the other starters are starting to fade down the stretch, and he has just stayed hot.
Yep. And so Scott Servais will get what as a haircut if he gets 62 saves?
I don't know what the deal is there.
Yeah, but more. He needs something more extravagant.
He doesn't have any more hair.
That's a hot take. All right, well, I think that's good. I had written that the M's are cold and the takes are hot, and that proved prophetic. But you will be able to read Isabel's coverage of all of this on Lookout Landing. Is the Mariners come back to win the AL West?
Yes.
She's so good. You have to read LL. Hers and Kate's articles are pretty much the best things out there. John's okay too. John's all right.
They're fine. I'll give you your 20 bucks
mainly her and
after
Kate.
This.
All right, thanks so much for joining us. I think I'm just gonna trust him. Okay, guys. It's time for something we've been promising or perhaps threatening for a long time.
Talking Taco Bell! No,
not tonight. Not tonight.
Love it!
Our host is sadly not here. I wish she could be here. The best named podcast on the Peltoncast Network.
Oh, God.
Our friend Mike now joins us on stage for the world's most popular unofficial podcast about Trader Joe's. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Trader Bros.
Have we already had a bingo, by the way?
Yeah.
A crunch. How did we get through all those things that fast?
I might have been trying too hard.
Wow, you really were. Mike, welcome.
Wow.
There it
Tristan,
is.
Tristan, wow.
That's one of the bingo. It doesn't matter anymore. Bingo's over, apparently. We have a prize for blackout bingo?
No, we can't do blackout because everyone's going to get it at the same time. We'll remember that next
check
year.
Out to me.
No, it does. We're going to remember that next year. We'll do it next year.
Who got bingo? Where did you throw a hat? Did you go into my hat department over here?
I did throw a hat.
I was back there not paying attention to what.
Yeah.
Oh, congrats. we should pause Cheers. Right here to say, even though Barboza doesn't have Rainier Tallboys, if you want to take a second to go back to the bar and get a PBR Tallboy or something else, feel free right now. Because this segment is going to be great.
The other thing we should pause, by the way.
Oh, that's going to be so good.
We haven't yet shouted out the famous Cousin Katie, who not only created the bingo squares, but is also our lead graphic designer and legal consultant.
And also Baller's Woo! Consultant. Which... missed opportunity wow, not talking to Infrared about Ballers.
That also. Was. We maybe have to bring it back. She's behind the logos of not only Talkin' Taco.
It's called Time, After Ballers.
But today, just today, came up with the Trader Bros logo. How about
wow.
I
go? Oh my God. Wow. Tristan, we look good, man.
I love it. I don't know which one I am. I guess you're definitely the blonde haired one.
Tonight he is.
That Hansel is so hot right now.
So, Mike, welcome to the inaugural edition of Trader Bros.
Wow.
Question for you.
Ooh.
How does Trader Joe's make you feel?
I'm ready to get immediately spicy, just like some of the frozen section. Trader Joe's is a wonderful, it makes me feel like a beautiful butterfly right when I walk in the doors. It makes me feel the exact opposite of when I walk into an In-N-Out burger, the hellscape of In-N-Out. Which is okay. I just wanted to throw that. Yes! Oh, yes. That's what I'm talking about.
We
all
can
right.
All exist
That's
together,
okay.
Trader
I just needed
Joe's
to. I needed to get that out of the way so that I could just guilt free talk about Trader Joe's.
We don't
so.
Have time to get into this with you right now.
Last year we threw. You're Dick Stan.
One might say.
Last year we threw Dicks to the crowd.
Yes.
Nobody from Dicks contacted
are we
us.
Are we not even doing phrasing anymore?
Little Woody's. Big fans.
Big.
Good friends of the podcast.
Friends.
Look,
you're
wearing aprons, throwing burgers out.
Yes.
We paid for those burgers last year from Dick's. Nobody from Dick's was like, hey, thanks for mentioning us on the podcast. But, you know, whatever.
They're too busy because they're working on the Michael Dixon sponsorship right now. That's why. They're about punter analytics. Puntalytics.
Okay. Anyway, how does Trader Joe's make you feel?
It's, it makes me feel stressed because I'm really bad at buying groceries and there's too much good
Not
food. It's like, what is it, Arby's, too much good food? Should be Trader Joe's slogan. It's so good. There's so much variety. It's just, it's amazing. Whenever I walk in, I'm just overwhelmed by goodness.
Okay, so what is your favorite section at Trader Joe's?
No question, frozen foods.
Okay.
Without a doubt.
You've got two aisles that you go to.
You got some
to.
Frozen foods fans out there.
Yeah.
Let's hear it for frozen hive.
So you go in, there's two sections right there. I mean, that's where you're going first.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Without question.
Oh, what is your favorite item within the frozen food section?
I feel like there's a There's a two-way tie for just things that I'm going to eat for dinner. It would be orange chicken, which is a classic, of course.
Woo!
Yeah, yeah. You
this
get
guy
it.
Knows what I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, you get it. Yeah. And then there's the buns, the pork buns. Oh, yeah.
So
steam those? Oh, man.
My follow-up question is, what is your favorite item from the Asian section of the Trader Joe's?
Well, how the fuck am I going to pick between those two? Like,
be like picking between your non-existent children?
Father of the week. I think... Oh, my God.
Have you had the soup dumplings?
Yes, I have.
I mean, as far as Trader Joe's items, soup dumplings are pretty good,
yes.
Right?
Yes. And can we please, like, throw it back to the fact that when I was lucky enough to guest on when you guys were doing your dumpling bracket, we were talking about, what's the place in Wallingford that we went to? Rock and Walk. Not to disparage the good name of
Trader
Rock
Joe's.
And Walk. We were saying that their dumplings were very similar to Trader Joe's dumplings.
Wow, so you love those dumplings.
Love them. Big fan. Big fan. So... I'm going to go with the pork buns.
Wow, over the orange chicken?
Oh, I mean, I feel like orange chicken was the one seed that got upset. Yeah, I'm going with
it. I was
gonna
say, as far as favorite frozen food, people really sleep on the mac and cheese.
Very true, very true.
And it's not like one mac and cheese.
There's so many.
There's like four or five mac and cheeses.
Have fucking pizza mac and cheese.
Pizza Mac.
Pepperoni pizza mac
and
cheese.
I might have had, I don't mean to step on the toes of a future question, I think there may have been a Thanksgiving mac and cheese.
What?
That might not have existed.
I can't wrap my head around
I
that.
I made that up just in a dream that I had, but I liked.
What? What is this segment? What is
there's
this
a light mac and cheese, which is both cheaper and you get less items, it's lower calories or whatever. And I'm like, fuck that, Trader Joe's. Nobody wants this.
The low-fat mac and cheese.
Yeah, the blue one. You're like, get out of here. Show me the red mac and cheese.
We come to Trader Joe's to indulge ourselves as Trader Bros. Of course.
So are you doing any sort of interesting combinations of Trader Joe's items?
For years, Tristan. So, can I get a show of hands for people that have had the white cheddar shells mac and cheese from Trader Joe's? Yeah, you motherfuckers
wow,
know what I am talking about
I mean,
right now.
People need to...
Yeah.
We know you've been to Taco Time, but have you ever been to Trader Joe's?
So,
it is a national chain.
So, they've got...
Trader Giotto's.
In the... Not to call back to the last question, frozen section. They have chicken strips or like bits of breaded chicken that are frozen that you can cook up in your oven. And if you take those and simultaneously cook up your white cheddar shells, mac and cheese, you can put the pieces of essentially fried chicken in your mac and cheese to make an amalgamate of amazing sustenance, and god damn it, it's fucking delicious.
<I'm>,
it's so good. That saved me
like
my sophomore year of college.
I do a lot of pairing with the Trader Joe's, and I think this might have been a Peltoncast sneak of the week.
Yes.
By show of woo.
Shouts.
There we go. I'll do a lot of Trader Joe's Asian food pairing with the Momofuku Som sauce.
Mm. I haven't explored the sauces.
Not technically a Trader Joe's item. That's Costco?
Yeah. What was the Talkin' Costco podcast called?
We could really have a great Costco podcast. Don't. We've got so many pods already.
Don't get us started. It's going to happen.
Does anyone here like Costco hot dogs?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, that's the podcast right there.
Hashtag chicken bakes.
$1.50. We don't even know Polish.
Pour one out. Pour one out for the Polish sausage.
Oh, cross it off your bingo sheet, fuckers.
You're looking
fuckers.
For the... You know what? The Polish sucked anyway.
Oh.
You know what? Did oh. you...
Wow.
In what
did
world
you
did you not
realize
want to have
that
the
people
option?
Felt so strongly about the Polish sausage?
The Polish wasn't making anything worse for you. You didn't have to get it. You could still get the hot dog.
I somehow disagree with you. And also lost my
phone. He's dropped his phone in a fury because of that.
It's got all the Trader Joe's questions. I don't know anything about Trader Joe's otherwise. Okay, there we go. Anyway, so tell us about the Polish. Oh, wait. speaking of the Polish, is what I meant to say. Wow. Is there anything at Trader Joe's that you love that isn't there anymore?
So I am what some might call a young. So I don't remember if this certain memory.
Wait, are you a youth?
A youth.
A youth?
I am one of the hashtag
youth.
You can
tell. We should put that on the
banner. I'm not like a complete youth. I am not one of the hashtag teens, but I am relatively
a hashtag
youth. You wouldn't be
allowed into the venue.
So I'm not sure if my memory serves me correctly, but were Altoids, like were the Trader Joe's brand Altoids a thing? Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
And by show, yes.
Where did they go?
Are they gone?
Why did they go? Have we petitioned Trader Joe's about this?
We're
I
taking
do
this
not
one
know.
All the way to the top.
Oh, we're going. Seattle City Council, you didn't do very well on the arenas, but we can make this right with Altoids.
I don't know if they oversee Trader Joe's. For me, it's the Trader Joe's breakfast burritos. Is anybody else there?
Breakfast burritos?
They had the two packs. You know they have the two packs of the chicken breakfast
of
burritos
course.
And beefsteak.
Of course.
Course. But they used to have breakfast burritos, bacon. Has anybody else eaten this?
Oh, my God.
A mild, yeah.
It was subdued.
They had Trader
breakfast
Joe's.
Burritos?
They still have breakfast burritos.
An elite food,
they're
mind
sausage,
you?
And they're individually packed, right? In, like, the yellow package.
Wow.
Trader Joe's,
wow.
Bring back the breakfast burritos.
Bring back the
what
breakfast
are you
burritos.
Doing?
I haven't even had one, and I
it
need
is my
one.
My number one item at Trader Joe's. By the way, have you had the Trader Joe's ice cream sandwiches, cookie ice cream sandwiches, where they roll it in chocolate chips?
I have, but have you had those, but with coffee ice cream?
Woo! Have you had the mochi?
Who do you think I am, Tristan?
Don't insult
Come
him.
Come on. How dare you?
Do I have any more? Okay, so. You've clearly,
he's just trying to get me the fuck off the
might
stage.
Might have
man.
Had the mochi. Yeah, yeah, but what is your preferred blend of the Charles Shaw wine?
If I may be exactly precise in this answer, I prefer any of them because wine tastes like wine.
Wow!
Yeah.
I cannot agree
yeah.
with this. I had to stand up for that take.
A real sommelier here. Yeah.
Shiraz is the correct answer.
They recently have started to have Charles Shaw Rosé.
Rosé! More it's like rose yay, folks.
There we go. That's what I'm looking for. Clearly the number one wine.
Clearly.
But there was some sort of back order. This is a little insider Trader Joe's. Thing. I talked
took
about.
It busted for
he is officially
Trader
a trader, bro.
You don't like, want to end up like Michael Kendricks.
Podcast I haven't had out.
His employee
like,
title.
Too soon? Too soon?
And I was like, where's the Trader Joe's Charles Shaw Rosé? And they were like, there's some sort of production delay at the facility, and they didn't have any Trader Joe's Rosé. Let me tell you, Rosé is not cheap. Getting a $3 bottle of rosé is exceptional, and it was great. It was the number one Charles Shaw wine, and it was gone. Trader Joe's, bring it back!
Bring it back!
Can I get
With
an amen?
Breakfast man. Burritos. Breakfast rosé. Rosé burritos. Crossover episode.
Okay, to wrap up, Trader Bros.
Yes.
That's you. There
that's,
you are.
That's me, folks.
That's me. question for you.
Yes.
What is the best seasonal item at Trader Joe's?
Well, there's no question about this.
Wow.
I have no hesitation. did somebody just say pumpkin pie? Maybe not. Well, because that's the wrong answer, if so.
Wow.
The answer is a fellow pie and also the best pie. The Trader Joe's key lime pie, seasonal. I went into the winter, they didn't have it. It was quite disappointing. They have it now. It's fucking delicious.
I had an answer, but I don't anymore.
That's it. Just became your answer?
Yeah.
By proxy?
I've never had the key lime pie. But
you better. It's so good.
You now?
My answer before it was Thanksgiving potato chips, which I don't even like that much, so... Peppermint
JoJo's are actually bad.
Live basil plant.
What?
Chris is buying fucking basil at Trader Joe's.
this segment is officially out of control.
If I didn't mention the spices at Trader Joe's?
Spices, wow.
This is not an official question. Look, the questions have gone out the
window. Oh! That's an iPhone, folks.
There's yeah. No
that's ballsy.
Yeah. It's a 5S.
You got that S? Stands for sturdy.
There's no chance. There's no chance it breaks. I could throw it in the crowd like talking out. But
skip it like
I would be remiss if I didn't mention the spices at Trader Joe's. Have you had these?
Yes.
You're it's like you're at an upscale restaurant and you're shaving off your own pepper and salt. Why are you so bothered? I didn't want you on stage for the Trader Bros. You don't like Trader Joe's.
Kevin is not a Trader Bro for the record.
I've got both microphones here. Okay. Thank you.
Oh, that toilet paper, 2-ply.
Wow. Love to the conditioner also.
And big fan.
The Tom's toothpaste. I mean, come on. Best price at Trader Joe's anywhere in the
world.
Wow. Anybody?
Can we talk about their version of Cinnamon Toast Crunch? CT Crunch is the best cereal. They've got Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
It's the best cereal and it's the best at Trader Joe's.
Yes.
Anyway, I just want to say about the spices. You're like shaving your own pepper and salt as if you're at the most upscale restaurant you've ever been to. But no, you're not.
Michelin, 3 stars.
You went to Trader fucking Joe's.
Trader fucking Joe's.
I had a friend who went to Iceland and she was like, oh, I have this very impressive Icelandic pink sea salt, right? Hell yeah. Are we familiar with this Icelandic salt?
No.
I'm at Trader Joe's and I'm like, $1.99. Himalayan pink sea salt right there. Shaving it off myself. I mean, I it's impressive that you went to Iceland for it, but right there at Trader Joe's. God, I love Trader Joe's.
Big fan.
Anyway.
Big fan.
Any other thoughts on Trader Joe's? I kicked Kevin out. He's never coming back.
Kevin is just furious.
You're so desperate to get back.
Can we talk about the Seahawks now?
I think that can probably be arranged.
Boo.
Is anyone here like the Seahawks?
Anyway.
Can we? Oh, wow.
In the meantime, should we?
What's up?
No. No more food.
In the meantime.
We're
going to
pelt you with frozen food.
Does anybody
food.
Like mac and cheese?
No more food. All right.
Yes. Oh my God. Hold on. Mike.
Your fave could never.
Oh God. Don't step on the phone. Oh yes.
What is going on?
You're welcome. In between then, since you clearly didn't get this out during the bingo championship, did you give out a deck of cards? Or did I throw out two of those?
You threw out two of them.
What did you do during bingo?
I gave out a hat. I had a separate stash of hats.
Oh, separate stash of hats. Anyway, if anybody else is out there excited about Trader Joe's, let us know your favorite Trader Joe's item for a Peltoncast hat.
Wow, that was quick.
That shrimp toast has to win. I definitely cannot throw that far, especially in hat terms, so you might want to come closer. There you go. Did you catch it? Oh, that was the worst throw ever. Anyway, thank you. Thank you. I need to grab my phone that I broke during Trader Bros.
You got a little too hyped during Trader Bros.
It's not that good. It's like slightly better than Target.
Can we talk about the Trader Joe's of the NFL now? AKA your Seattle Seahawks.
All right, well now we have had both of them on stage at various points during the evening, but now we are joined by the full Voltron that is Tasteful Profanity, a Beast Pode production.
When did you write that?
That was off the dome.
Voltron. An iconic introduction. Thank you, Kevin.
I think Voltron is the word we're going by. All right.
Okay, so we're here to preview the 2018 Seahawks season, but first, to know the future, you have to know the past. So we're going to take a look back at what has transpired since the Seahawks 2017 season ended on New Year's Eve with the loss to the Arizona Cardinals.
It's been a tasteful offseason, folks.
Well, we'll see.
Possibly.
And so what I thought we want I was going to sigh my way through this, but
what we want you to do is please, whatever emotion that comes up when you see these photos and see these slides, don't hesitate in sharing that with all of us. We want to feel your emotion for the podcast. All right, we're going to go chronologically.
I'm with you, Tristan.
Trader Joe's.
We start January 10th when we learn that the Seahawks have fired offensive coordinator Daryl Bevel and offensive line coach slash run game coordinator Tom Cable.
Is that an equal level of applause between firing Daryl Bevel and also firing Tom Cable?
I don't think it is.
I hope not. Daryl Bevel did nothing wrong.
Pour some out for Daryl Bevel.
I thought they were cheering for Tom Cable.
He died for Tom Cable.
Of course. One would hope so.
So 3 days later, we find out the replacement for offensive coordinator.
Yeah, fuck Jeff Fisher, am I right?
And
that's right,
it's
Brian Schottenheimer, who has pledged to run the ball 100 times a game. All right, we skip forward a couple of months.
Wow.
March 7th.
I hope that's because he left.
You guys hate Trader Joe's.
Yeah, it's because he left. Oh, yeah. Seahawks trade Michael Bennett to Philadelphia.
They're not a fan of Marcus Johnson, I can tell already.
Now, they turned the Michael Bennett
fifth-round picks.
They got into Michael Dixon, basically.
Basically,
there's
no silver linings playbook here. Yeah. We know this is he went to the Eagles, but
Bradley Cooper. Is this not the positive moment of the podcast?
No.
Okay.
Look at Michael Bennett. He's wearing an Immigrants Make America Great hat, and you're excited about Michael Dixon?
Who is an immigrant,
Michael Bennett. So I think a member of the Mike Hive. A member of the Mike Hive.
He's from Australia. Did you not know that?
Oh, sorry. Wow. Anyway, yeah, traded him for Michael Dixon. Great.
How about this one? March 9th, the Seahawks waive Richard Sherman, who signs subsequently with the San Francisco 49ers.
You had to,
didn't you? That was a rough day. Let's be real. That was not a fun day.
And it does not feel real yet. Like, you're going to see him play for the Niners, and it's going to look fake.
I played Madden 2 days ago for the first time in the new one, and Richard Sherman was a 49er, and that's when it hit me.
Which
is like the most like 23-year-old shit that I've ever heard. Like, oh, wow, he left Madden? Oh, that's where it is. It was rough.
You wept, didn't you?
Oh, many tears. Okay. Many tears.
All right, so they weren't the only departures. After free agency opened subsequently on March 13th.
Yeah! How dare you? How dare you slander the greatest tight end in Seattle Seahawks history?
You booed everything
else. Oh, you sickened me. Oh, my God.
How many touchdowns did Jimmy Graham have last year?
All the touchdowns. He scored all the touchdowns last year. All the ones.
Where are you going to replace that production?
I'll tell you who didn't score any, the running backs. We'll get to that.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
There's a lot of Jimmy Graham heat in the room.
Did not see that
coming. No.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Unfortunate take.
I'll for that. Ooh.
I don't think I can go there.
I mean, he's worse than...
Oh, my God.
Thrill Disley.
Oh, my God.
Boo.
March 16th, Sheldon Richardson signs with the Minnesota Vikings.
Can I say something before we move on here?
Of course.
No.
So, I thought that this was over, like, when free agency began. It's not over. I've gotten multiple ats on this very date that Sheldon Richardson was not actually very good because he only has, like, 2 sacks in the last 2 or 3 years. Low volume stats. How dare the Seattle Seahawks trade a second-round pick and our father Jermaine Kearse for Sheldon Richardson and then let him leave for $8 million fucking dollars a year? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. I'm still furious.
We hit that Jermaine Kearse bingo square earlier than I expected.
Kearse crew.
God.
All right. Then came the NFL draft. A night where Tristan drunkenly called in to Tasteful Profanity to vent about this very move.
To be honest, our best episode, probably.
Are we? Wait. You're booing my appearance on Tasteful Profanity?
It was our best episode.
Look at
how
much these people love Ben B. Booing the Seahawks using a first-round pick on a running back, Rashad Penny.
The B and Ben B stands for brainwashing. He's brainwashed everybody.
He really
has. To believe the running backs don't matter. They don't matter, but he's brainwashed them anyway.
Before we move on,
you can brainwash people into something true.
Let us say that we turned pick 18 into Rashad Penny and Rasheem Green. Presented without comment.
Wow.
All right. Okay, now is the time.
Wow.
For the silver lining.
Oh, there it is, Bradley Cooper. Let's go. There it is.
Yeah.
I was expecting more cheers here because I thought this was the highlight of the offseason.
also
day three
tears.
Of the draft, Seahawks draft Shaquem Griffin, reunite him with his brother Shaquille Griffin, and then draft the greatest punter in the history of football.
Wait till the over-unders.
Michael Dixon.
Big Dixon energy. There we go.
Trending immediately.
Any other thoughts here?
They traded up to get a punter.
And we loved the...
What? Nobody would have seen that coming.
No, John Elway laughed, you fucking punter. Scrub, John Elway.
They traded up to get the punter.
Now, John Ryan, of course, is going to have a better year than Michael Dixon.
In the CFL?
What?
Well, he's gonna bring the professional baseball back to Portland.
No, that's Russell Wilson again.
The only reason that John Ryan's going to have a better year is because Josh Allen is going to be quarterbacking Buffalo, and they're going to punt a lot.
There we go. And we're never
going to
punt anymore. We're just going to score on every possession.
Because Rashad Penny is going to be carrying the football,
right? Thank you.
All right, now it gets real sad.
Oh, God. Stop this.
Sad. Yeah, May 5th, Cliff Avril announces his retirement.
He's going to be missed. Let's not paper over that. He's going to be missed.
Should have leaned farther right. Right?
Pete Carroll's for sure a truth.
You're just going through that? You're not even saying it? What about for the listener at home?
They'll just have to know.
They'll just have to know.
Pay him. Yes.
Pay him
today.
Pay this man.
Little do you know, we have Earl Thomas, but no, I'm
I mean, like, get a third-round pick at least.
All right, we'll get into this later. No, okay. Earl Thomas announces his holdout, though, for those of you listening at home. And then, finally, we conclude.
That's the saddest one.
You had to do the photo with Cam and Richard Sherman and Byron Maxwell.
Look, I wanted all the feels.
Maxwell's like, I'm not dead yet.
I mean, Monty Python shit. Be over there in the future.
Cam Chancellor has not officially announced his retirement for contract reasons, but is not cleared to play football and surely will not again. All right, well, that brings us up to date on the Seahawks offseason. Was that a feel good or what?
Fun time.
Wow.
I honestly, I was putting that together. I was like, wow. I didn't.
Oh, my God.
Well, I didn't realize it was that bad. All right, okay, now it's time for a tasteful profanity staple.
Finally.
All right.
We're gonna do overrated or underrated, right?
Oh, that's right. Nights on Broadway by the Bee Gees starts playing in the background.
Explain to everybody how this works, because they don't understand what these words mean.
No, of course. Well, they've listened to every single one of our podcasts.
Every single one.
So they already know how it works. I don't know how to explain it. Okay. It works in the way that something comes up on the screen or suggestion. I know he's gone.
Tristan's not ready
Tristan's
for the
overrated.
Heat.
Okay, there we go. You're back. You're underrated.
Oh, he's got that
underrated significantly.
I have to do that same thing, too, in just a minute. Grab the beer.
There's only one left, so it's going to be a fight for it.
Mine. It's mine. I call dibs. All right. Overrated, underrated. Something will come up on the screen here behind us, or we'll announce it on the podcast, and a person has to declare whether it is overrated or underrated.
What can't you do?
You may not, and you cannot, and you will not, and you shan't not. Shan't is just all we need is shan't.
Double negatives also should have been on the bingo card.
Is to announce it properly rated.
Appropriately rated.
Absolutely
you may not.
Not
say that it's properly rated. That's a cop-out. We don't do cop-outs.
Do we all have to yell it at the same time or we can go in order?
You can.
Well, we've been yelling all at the
same
time so
passionately,
far.
However you feel.
Where are we going to stop now?
Just say it when you mean it.
All right.
When you need it.
We start with the new Seahawks backup quarterback, Brett Hundley.
Overrated.
No.
Overrated
at this moment, but underrated when he comes in week 9. When it comes to week 9 to lead us to a win over whoever we're playing week 9.
What the fuck happens to make him come in week 9?
It's fine.
That's a great question.
No. Russell Wilson gets like a broken finger.
How dare you?
No.
These
words.
He has a broken finger and he's back for the next game.
We have disbanded the podcast.
Anyway, Brett.
Overrated.
Underrated.
Underrated just for that 1 week.
I got some stats here.
Wow.
Go.
Last year... So, collectively, NFL backup quarterbacks averaged a 40 QBR. Brett Hundley was better than that. You just think he's bad because of the fact that he was trying to replace Aaron Rodgers.
There's actually no beers, John.
Yeah, he went 3-6 because the Packers had 25 million of Aaron Rodgers not playing.
Kevin.
No, he's underrated.
You're wrong. Magoo is underrated.
Yeah, we have it. Kevin rationalizes something.
This is a six-round pick is still... Underrated.
How dare you, sir?
Who's back there? We can't see him in the darkness, but underrated, sir.
I don't know which DJ that was.
Just like Trader Joe's.
Russell Wilson.
This is Russell Wilson on the screen for the record.
Russell Wilson was the offense last year. He was the whole rushing offense. He was the whole passing offense. He was the whole offense. So we're not trading him.
All right, calm down, Mike Chan. Jesus Christ.
We're cutting off the beer back there.
So underrated still somehow.
Three ones? What the fuck are you going to get with three ones? Jermaine Effetti three times?
Wow.
There it is.
That joke underrated. I'm going underrated here.
Probably underrated. But
no,
Rashad Penny three times?
Definitely
let's replace
underrated.
The production with running backs.
Who was it? Was it Zach Whitman who made the joke today that the Raiders want two number ones for Khalil Mack, so we'll offer Rashad Penny and Jermaine Effetti?
I didn't see that, but...
That's fabulous.
Love those internet jokes.
Okay, we need to... Also, before we move on, can we just talk about the fact that Pete Carroll, that should have been a momentous occasion from the offseason that he posted a tweet of Return of the Mac yesterday let every Seahawks fan on Twitter and beat writer just mess with all of us about Khalil Mack possibly
I thought he was just enjoying a great song.
Exactly. He people thought that he was talking about Khalil
There's
Mack.
There's no such thing as coincidence. Unless
he was
there is.
About the greatest song of the last 20 to 30 years.
The letters T-R-O-L-L are right in his name right there. Pete Carroll, they're all there. T-R-O-L-L. If you look at the name.
When we close up
there.
This.
You can't spell,
that's science.
You can't spell
in between
troll
the segment,
without
you're
going to
play
Carroll.
Return of the Mac, right?
Or the other way around.
You're taking comfort. You're responding to people on
I'm
Twitter
not responding
right now?
On Twitter. I'm trying to figure out who tweeted that thing earlier.
Kevin is operating
anyways,
in an efficiency that Russell Wilson could only dream of.
95.6K followers. I need to respond to people.
I'm not responding to anyone.
You don't get to 100,000
without responding to people. So the question is, Chris Carson, overrated or underrated?
Underrated.
Underrated nationally.
I'm going to say overrated.
Sure. Yeah, maybe a tad overrated.
By
the fan base, he's overrated.
He's overrated.
He's not going to get more carries than Penny. Penny's going to get more carries this year.
He's great.
Penny's RB1.
I think that Penny is probably...
Eventually.
I don't know. I'm higher on Penny than I thought I was. But I feel like Chris Carson is great. He's very good, and he's going to continue to be very good. But also, he's not as good as you want him to be. Everyone wants the next Marshawn Lynch, and he's not that.
And his name is Chris Carson.
He's better than Carson Wentz.
That's very true. Carson Wentz, overrated. Book it, fuckers. Let's go.
What else do we have?
All right, Rashad Penny.
Overrated. Underrated.
That guy in the back who said Russell was underrated, I now agree with everything he's ever said.
Underrated.
See, he's
overdrafted is right.
He breaks a finger, and then he's a fucking pariah. Calm down, people.
He was the pariah
Everyone
said
he falls into the so overrated, he's underrated category, because so many people say
he's
overrated.
That's fantastic. That's a good way of putting it.
Shouts to Ben for making him overrated.
All right,
underrated.
Next up, Tyler Lockett, and specifically... Specifically, Tyler Lockett, 3-year extension.
Angry.
Are we going to talk about his contract now?
$20 million guaranteed, $31.5 million base, and a maximum of $37.5 million.
Overrated.
Is the next slide Tyler Lockett's contract?
No, we did it all in one.
Okay. This right
it's
here is Tyler
Lockett's roster efficiency.
I did think about just putting
slide
a bunch of dollar bills on the next one.
I was just pulling back the curtain. The Tyler Lockett contract overrated for sure.
Which means that Tyler Lockett is overrated.
Well, no.
That's
by the Seahawks.
You don't trade for players, you trade for contracts.
Oh.
High five. Nobody?
Overrated contracts.
There we go.
I'd rather have Tyler Lockett than Paul Richardson for paying receivers because he brings something on special teams, but I'd rather...
All right, that's what I wanted to talk about. Perfect. So, Tyler Lockett is simultaneously overrated and underrated. I think he's... underrated by a lot of the fan base.
Are you copying out?
You might have just
said
he was appropriately rated.
I'm saying...
This is your rule.
You just said he was appropriately rated.
He's underrated by a lot of the fan base that is thinking that his injuries are going to define him, because if he's getting a $30 million contract that maxes out at 37, 38, then the team has to be confident in his health.
Yeah, just
right?
Like they were confident
they
in Cam's health last year.
Well, okay, we're talking fluky
we're
shit
talk
at that point.
Whether John
that's
Schneider
fluky
is
stuff.
Over, all right. Underrated.
All right. That was how dare you speak ill of my father, John Schneider. But Paul Richardson How dare you, John Fraley?
Underrated.
Underrated!
Underrated.
Paul Richardson?
I can't even tell who we're talking about.
Oh my God. I had to defend Paul Richardson on Twitter today. He was underrated. You people do not understand what you had while you had it.
There's a lot of haters that think he's constantly injured.
Haters in the building.
My God.
Anyway, play the Ballers theme.
I don't have that queued up. All right. Will Disley.
I feel like Will Disley is slightly overrated. And coming from somebody that went to UW,
no.
Like, I love Will Disley. I think he's going to be great, but I think the like thought that he's going to come in and immediately be Zach Miller is absurd.
Mike, the green room's right there. Just take yourself back there.
I guess I'm going there, too.
Go Dogs.
He's overrated.
He's underrated.
Beat Auburn. I'll be all alone here talking about the thrill.
Underrated is correct. He's going to lead.
There we go.
He's going to lead the team in tight end snaps.
We're talking about Nick Vanette here, right?
Yes, he can block. Thank you.
Better than Jimmy Graham. Who dares? Yeah. Jesus.
Okay. Angry person
oh
is
my
attacking.
God.
He's out of control. He's out of control.
Okay, what else do we have?
Seahawks offensive line, thanks to Ben
under,
B for
under,
the screenshot.
Underrated. They're good. They're not good. They're
they
okay.
Might be fine.
They're okay.
Fine.
Fine.
Nationally fine. Underrated, locally overrated, per usual.
I actually agree with
that's,
all
that. That's probably true. Okay. No, Shaquem Griffin. Week one starter, a weak side linebacker in all likelihood for your Seattle Seahawks.
Overrated.
Oh my God! Right now?
You guys have a Seahawks.
Okay,
right
we need to discuss this. Okay, do you have Trey Flowers on this list?
No.
Okay, on the last Pelham cast, you said that you would feel comfortable with Trey Flowers and Shaquem Griffin starting
absolutely
week one at Denver.
I would.
Really? Really?
Really? 20-7 victory. Trey Flowers
I would be very pleased.
And Shaquem Griffin.
Where?
Are you about to
Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders?
Who's on the other side? Demaryius Thomas, Shaquem Griffin is defending him. I'm concerned about Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, you probably should.
But
be
also, who's
about Emmanuel
who's
Sanders.
Shaquem Griffin defending? Cortland Smith,
Jake Butt.
Shaquem Griffin's going to be a really good player in 2019.
He is the best player now.
KJ Wright is the best player now.
KJ Wright. If we're doing overrated, underrated,
oh
guys.
My God, oh,
overrated.
Oh! Well, stop. But
average linebacker,
actual
Shaquem
no.
Griffin,
average
why
linebacker.
Why would you do that to yourself?
Oh my God! Boo this man!
Shaquem Griffin is the starting linebacker.
Week one,
heat seeking. You've never seen a linebacker who had a nose for the ball more than Shaquem Griffin.
That's some Chris Borland shit, man.
He's everywhere.
You remember 2014?
Chris Borland.
No. I'm not saying
about
that Shaquem
Chris
Griffin.
Shit?
No. I'm not saying that Shaquem Griffin is Chris Borland.
Undrafted
saying,
rookie linebacker.
I am saying
one
that
of the best linebackers
Chris
in the
Borland
league.
Was hailed as like the defensive rookie of the year,
which
because
he
had like. He was not, because he had like 140, 150 tackles. Oh, my God. You can be cleaning up someone else's garbage for tackles.
If Shaquem Griffin has 140, 150 tackles,
that means that he's almost there. That means he's almost there.
Defensive rookie of the year.
That means that he's almost there.
And he'll retire the next year.
You know who's going to be the
49 is a fucking trash number also.
Who's that? Trey Flowers?
No, according to the poll Bill Barnwell posted tonight, he qualifies as a defensive rookie of the year, not offensive rookie of the year.
I'm so angry about this.
And that is, of course.
The next slide.
Michael Dixon.
Of course.
Cannot possibly be overrated because he is the best rating.
Did you know?
Literally cannot,
he cannot
be
underrated.
Did you know
thank
that
you.
Punts
it has to be only overrated.
Average more per play than offensive plays? It's true.
This is the man right here. Why didn't you choose the photo with him and John Ryan, though? I mean, come on. Sad.
Wow, that's poor taste.
Pour some out for John Ryan.
For sure.
There we go. Michael Dixon cannot be underrated. He's the most important player ever.
Yeah, that means he can't be overrated. You said it backwards.
Science.
Lawyered.
John Ryan did nothing wrong.
Overrated. Wow.
Seahawks head coach.
Underrated. Underrated.
Overrated.
I think underrated.
No. Right now, for sure underrated.
Super Bowl 48 champions. We haven't done that.
Super Bowl 49.
It was the right call.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Here's the deal with Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll is overrated between September and December. He's fine on game day.
Yeah.
But he's underrated on everything else that he does that's not on Sundays. He's underrated for all the stuff he does off-season between February and August, and he's underrated for everything he does on Monday through Saturday.
Let's also include everything that doesn't include lobsters during
the
period.
I was going to say, how rated is he for his Jordan Peterson visits?
No, don't start me on that. Okay. You don't want to start me on that. Don't do that. Don't do that.
John, again, underrated. Look at these elite number 33s he's drafting. Kristen Michael, Tedrick Thompson. God damn. Look at those 33s.
This man drafted Shaquem Griffin.
Overrated.
Oh,
their drafting is not a skill. Drafting is not a skill.
Drafting is not a skill for anybody else except for John Schneider.
It's all luck. Oh, no. That's not fair.
Except not racist.
He has a family. Come on.
He used to be overrated. Now he's underrated. That last draft was killer. Okay. Man, he's got seven starters in that last draft.
Let's talk about the last two drafts. Let's talk about it. Chris Carson and David Moore in the seventh round last year.
What about the first round?
Shaquem Griffin in the third round. Okay, you want to talk about Malik McDowell? It's process over results.
Second
round.
We're talking about second round.
Come on.
I love this dude.
Malik McDowell was a good pick.
What? Is that an infrared? Yeah, keep it coming. Yeah.
Talking about bullshit.
We accept all heckling.
Prepare to pour some out again.
They could have drafted Kevin King or Buda Baker.
Oh, motherfuckers. All right. So, let me speak my piece, people. I don't know how many of you folks are familiar with the T-Train, the Tanner Hive. Tanner McAvoy. Let's pour one out for Tanner, can we?
Of course.
R.I.P. All right, rip in pieces.
Except so when he becomes the starting quarterback of the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, no, we'll so that's what I was going to say. So let's be real here. Mickey Loomis was quivering when he was ready to sign Tanner McAvoy. So excited. And then he goes and picks up Teddy Bridgewater. So there's a quarterback controversy between Drew Brees, Teddy Bridgewater, and, of course, Tanner McAvoy. But in 2015, Pete Carroll trades for Jimmy Graham. Or Pete Carroll and John Schneider trade for Jimmy Graham because they throw an interception
about?
On the one. Don't.
Okay.
There's an end game.
Okay.
Pete Carroll and John Schneider. I've had too many PBRs. No, I'm just joking. Pete Carroll and John Schneider trade for Jimmy Graham as a reaction. This is a very top-level view
to the end of Super Bowl
49. To throwing an interception on the one-yard line of Super Bowl 49.
Don't remember that.
That never happened.
Game
was canceled.
Stick with me here. Sean Payton, so shook by Stephon Diggs. Marcus Williams whiffed on Stephon Diggs on the final play of the divisional round. Tanner McAvoy has played safety, people. You know that he is about to start on the back end for the New Orleans Saints in week one to take down receivers daring enough.
Wow.
To cross the middle on him.
Tanner McAvoy.
Underrated. Perpetually, perennially underrated.
Overrated.
Overrated.
Wait, can we say it?
Boo! I think we all agree here, right?
I don't know. You know what? It's been a long couple of years for the 12s. Ever since they were called the 12s, it's been a long
time. It's a bad name. 12th man was so much better. I get legal issues.
It's been a long couple years for that guy and that guy and that guy and that guy. I'm assuming none of them are here. They don't listen. They don't do the whole podcast thing.
Where's
Manbun? Sports radio fans. Anyway, it's been a long few years for the 12s. And it's not even loud at Seahawks games anymore.
That's why they're overrated.
Nobody's listening to Manbun, guys.
They're actually, the 12s are not even rated anymore.
Wow.
The real answer to this question, of course, is to go back to eras again. And from 1976 inception until 2005.
That's a very long era, but okay.
Even the 90s?
Eras. I said eras. You're not even listening. So first 30 years, underrated. Next 10 years, the 12s. And I'm a season ticket holder 14 years now. Overrated. But the last 2 years, underrated. We're coming back. We're going to have an effect again.
Hope so. All right, we close, of course.
Good luck. Good
as always, good luck with the Seattle Seahawks.
Underrated. Tristan Tsai. John?
12-3-1.
And one.
We're going 12-3-1 this year. Seahawks are underrated.
Would that classify them as underrated? Oh, that's right. That would classify them as underrated. Oh, wow. 4-12. You can talk about the 49ers all you want, my friend, but that's not what's going to carry over here.
I listened to a podcast from The Ringer where they were talking about the Seahawks within regards for the worst team in the league. Definitely underrated.
Yeah, underrated. All right, over-under time.
We'll the Bills still exist. The Browns still exist.
A little quicker.
A little quicker.
We're being snappy.
We start with Russell Wilson passing yards, 3,999.5. He went over 4,000 in both 2015 and 2016. Fell 17 yards short last season.
Under, but he's going to run for like 700 again.
I'm going over.
I think...
Explosive passing game
Brian
with Tyler Lockett resigning. Oh, man. Five yards per attempt. Wow,
Doug Baldwin game is played. We learned earlier this week that he will be at 80-85% all season as he manages a knee injury. 13.5. He's only missed two games in his NFL career.
Doug's
those
hurt,
both
man.
Came.
You think
in
the Seahawks are going to pay Tyler Lockett because Doug Baldwin's healthy?
Doug's hurt, man.
I hope under because I hope he takes about 3 or 4 games to get healthy.
Might not be a bad idea.
He's not going to.
I'm also going under.
He's too stubborn. Yep. He's too stubborn.
All right. Stubborn Doug Baldwin, SDB.
Touchdowns by running back.
They can do that?
Over.
That's
over.
Allowed?
What was the number last year?
Did you put 7.5 there or 75?
7.5.
Because I'm going
number.
Over on 75.
The last 3 years for the Seahawks, they had 8 in 2015. They had 11, believe it or not, in 2016. Kristen Michael had 6 touchdowns that year.
Oh, God.
And 1 in 2017.
Mike did nothing
that
wrong.
Is the one right there. That's J.D. McKissick rushing touchdown.
That's the one. Oh,
that's the only one.
See, Mike ain't walking through that door.
Over!
Over. I'm hitting the over.
Over is the right
massively
answer.
Massively under.
Somebody said under? Did you just say under, Tristan?
Well, I mean, it would say it's under.
Probably have that in there twice.
Over!
Green sacks, 4.5.
This
under.
Number should be 16
under.
And a half.
You know, Frank Clark only had 3 sacks as a rookie.
Your mom only had 3 sacks
as a
rookie.
Why would you say that?
He also, he also had the only sack.
She's his mom, too. It doesn't make any sense.
Frank Clark also had the only sack of the playoff game against Carolina.
Not there.
The only one.
Rasheem Green is having 10 sacks.
By Seattle, of course.
I'm going over.
The only green smoother than Rasheem is CeeLo.
Stop this.
No, that was good. Actually,
we're going to talk about Seahawks legend Jacob Green here.
All right, let's get into this now.
Over.
Earl Thomas games played.
Over.
I think that's an under. Say it.
Hard under. 12.5 under.
Oh, my God. It's going to be 19. Jeez.
For the people listening.
I said Earl Thomas games played, 12.5.
Very under.
19.
Over.
Over, under. 19.
Over, 14.
I think he's not coming back until the minute
over, under
he has to
games
before his contract.
Khalil Mack
he could
plays
say
for the
face
Seahawks.
Like that. You're right. If he's more concerned about saving face, if he's more concerned about saving face, then yeah.
All right.
We're trading Tyler Lockett for Khalil
Times
Mack.
You're
confirmed.
Happy that the Seahawks fired Tom Cable. I couldn't set a line.
What's the line at?
You can't
what's,
set a line high enough.
What's the line at? 35?
You
over.
Mean, times you're unhappy the Seahawks are fired Tom Cable is 0.
Okay, fine.
Not happy.
It's like the only consensus.
Times you're happy the Seahawks fired Tom Cable is infinity.
It's all of them. It's all of the time.
There's not a moment that goes by in my life that I am not thankful that Thomas Lee fucking Cable is no longer associated with Seattle Seahawks.
You know his whole name.
Yes, it's like when you're mad at someone and you say their entire name, perpetually mad at that bastard. Yeah, also fuck that guy.
Well, that is an excellent point. All right, we're going to do a few Seahawks rivals before getting into the NFC West. We start with the Green Bay Packers, whose line is 10 wins this season.
Under.
I'm going to abstain on
under.
This one.
You have to say, this is your rule.
No, this isn't overrated, underrated
anymore.
Yeah,
it's a totally different thing. I'm going to take the over here.
I'm going to push. I'm going to push on this one.
This is
going
to be like 6 Deshaun Kaiser games.
No, he's on the
Seahawks. I think Aaron Rodgers might stay healthy this year.
Aaron Rodgers does not play 16 games a season very often.
when he's motivated by $33.5 million than he is.
All right, New England Patriots.
Under.
11 wins.
Under again. This is the year. This is the year. This is the year it finally goes south.
Always go. Let's go over on the Patriots.
50 years of dominance.
Always take
the over. I'm actually going over. The only reason that it would be under is if John Ryan just balls out in Buffalo.
There we go.
I mean, that's still only two games.
I mean, they're probably
covering all my bases.
32nd easiest schedule in the league.
That'd be the first easiest. You mean 32nd hardest? Pittsburgh Steelers, 10.5 wins.
Over. Over.
There's a trade you guys don't know about yet.
A picture of him playing against the Steelers.
Is that the pass to Doug?
Did we win that game?
Yeah, we won that game. Kobe retired that day.
Kobe?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
It's true. I wrote a story. Overrated.
Wait, we're talking Kobe? Kobe?
Probably.
All right.
Can we talk about my Lakers?
The Browns are going to win 12 to 15 games. So.
What?
Under. Over the next 4 years, yes, correct.
I'm going to slight under in the Steelers.
I'm going over. Juju Smith-Schuster is going to lead that team in touchdowns.
Kobe should be happy. He's like the sixth best Laker of all time. I don't see what the problem is.
Don't at me. All right, Arizona Cardinals, 5.5 wins.
Over.
Under. They are the worst team in the NFC.
I think they might be the worst team in the NFC.
No, the statistical projections really like them. I'm taking an over, even though if,
going over.
If Josh Rosen starts more than four games, then it goes to an under.
Three wins. No. That's a 3-13 team.
Can we talk about the finesse of Sam Bradford making $20 million this year?
Hey, nice work if you can get it.
Oh, my God. Good for him.
Hey,
good for Samuel.
Hey, speaking of quarterbacks making a lot of money. It's the San Francisco 49ers.
Overrated.
Under.
The San Francisco 49ers are going to win
seven games
this year. Yes. Max.
I'll say under too.
The Football Outsiders projections have San Francisco this year at 7.4 wins.
Yeah.
Is Jerry McKinnon really one of the highest paid running backs in the NFL?
Sure.
The people romanticizing the 49ers just because they think that they got their quarterback fucking Flynn situation going on here is absurd.
There was a piece in...
Who is the Matt Flynn to Jimmy G? Huh? Who's the other person? Who's the Russell Wilson to Jimmy G's Matt Flynn?
The kid from Iowa?
CJ Beathard. Beathard.
Brian
Hoyer.
Magoo.
L.A. Rams, 9.5 wins.
Under. They're overrated.
Sean McVay is probably the most overrated coach of all time.
Wow. Don't tell this to... Yeah, it's a great question.
Charles
Green Rams.
The Colorado State University Rams.
They're going to be pretty distracted with what to price their concessions.
Stephen Cohen's just
stoked. The shared cafeteria that every single person in the organization goes to. Is Ricky Jarrett starting? Yeah, that's actually Ricky Jarrett as a defensive lineman.
Aaron Donald.
Nobody else has any idea what we're talking about.
Ballers!
After ballers.
Aaron Donald apparently getting extended tomorrow.
Question for you and Fred in the back is Ballers on HBO.
HBO's critically acclaimed series Ballers.
Is it The Rock's tour de force? The story that needed to be told?
Ballers on HBO, overrated or underrated?
Underrated.
Wow. Okay, we got to move on.
We've got Hard Knocks scenario going on season one. The Dolphins,
The pièce de résistance.
Oh, wow. John.
Seattle Seahawks.
John,
wins.
Would you like to take this one?
Over.
I didn't get to say fuck the Rams on the last
one. Oh, yeah,
one,
fuck
so
the Rams also.
I mean, what do you guys
fuck them. Yeah, cross that off on your bingo squares, folks.
LA Angels.
Yeah, fuck the Angels also. Fuck all the Los Angeles franchises.
Except your Lakers.
Super good choice.
Except my Lakers, of course.
Well, you actually like the Lakers?
The Lakers?
Loves the Lakers.
Are you talking about, to me, a lifelong Los Angeles Lakers fan?
He didn't show up when we met when you were wearing your LeBron James jersey.
Yeah, of course.
All right, Seattle Seahawks, 8 wins.
Well,
we know your answer.
Super decision
12,
by Shohei Ohtani.
3-1. 12-3-1.
That seems to be larger than 8.
Over.
Let's be real here.
Let me take it over.
Even if Earl Thomas doesn't come back, which he is, over. They're winning. No. Just you wait.
Pay a roll.
Oh, just you wait.
They're going to win 8 games. They got like 2 wins in the division.
Hopefully. Hopefully it sucks. All right. One last thing. You guys usually do Father of the Week on the pod. Who is going to
be
your Father of the Year for the NFL season?
Sure. I mean, the obvious answer for Father of the Year on the Seahawks season is pretty much the only Seahawk who could be legitimately a father.
Wow.
Sebastian Janikowski.
Wow.
You mean like my father 40, of a high schooler?
Right, this is what I'm talking about. Like, I'm 44, and he's 40. And so we get along. He and I were simpatico. And
dad joke father of the year.
He's going to make a couple long field goals that the last guy, I forget his name, for the Seahawks last year. I have no idea who kicked for the Seahawks last year.
Actually, Ware Blalsh.
He's going to... So Janikowski is going to make a couple of long field goals and all of his extra points, basically. And he's going to make a two-game swing from last year, just by himself.
So it would be 10-5-1 without him.
Yeah, they'd be 10-5-1. Thank you for helping me out
on
that one.
That's a math.
10-5-1. Math. Hashtag math. So Sebastian Janikowski, I mean, unobvious father of the week, but obvious to me.
All right,
father of the year.
How about you, father of the year, Mike?
So, my first intuition was just to think back over the last several years. You know, every season we've gone into it just thinking, is this going to be the year that the O-line isn't just dog shit? And it always ends up being dog shit, which is fun, a nice fun experience for all of us. We haven't had quality left tackle play since 2012 when Russell Okung had his Pro Bowl season. And Dwayne Brown is just phenomenal. And Dwayne Brown is going to really change a lot on that offensive line, but he's not my father of the year. Tanner McAvoy is my father of the year. Oh, the Saints are going to cut his ass, and he's coming back to Seattle. You better watch out, folks. That's right.
Got to give it to the man. He stays on brand. How come nobody answered? The father of the year, Michael Dixon.
That's too obvious.
He's going to impregnate all of Seattle just with his punts. They're that sexy, his punts.
He is going to be literally the father of the year.
I mean, let's hope it's not literal, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you could watch a 55-yard punt that bounces directly sideways out
of
balance at the 5.
Yeah, two of them.
He did
and
it
not
twice.
Get pregnant.
In the same game.
Yeah.
Yes. That's potency.
All right, any other thoughts on the Seahawks?
They're good. People want to say they're bad, but they're good.
The Brian Schottenheimer offense, the demise of Seattle's offense because of Brian Schottenheimer is greatly overstated.
Oh, that's overrated.
No, it's underrated. The Brian Schottenheimer offense is underrated.
But the demise of it is overrated.
Oh, yeah, that is correct.
He's fine. He's an offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Offensive coordinators do stupid things
Accountability.
Sometimes.
I'm still hoping this is just all the long game, and they are really setting up play-action passing. Like, it's the longest con that we have ever seen
run.
In the history of the NFL.
John DeFilippo's still coming. He's just taking a pit stop in Minnesota right now.
All right, well, thanks so much.
Yes, bring back the Sonics.
Bring them
back. This is the Always. Last thing I have to say. The most important thing
Always.
I'll say all night tonight is bring back the Sonics.
Thank Always. You, everybody. If you haven't checked out our podcast, it's called Tasteful Profanity, a Beast Mode production. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever the hell you get your podcast. You can find us on Twitter, @BeastPode. And we're selling shirts, so if you guys want these sick-ass tasteful shirts.
Yeah, they're fine.
They're fine. Come get them after the show. We'll find you. You'll
thanks,
find
guys.
Us, actually.
Thank you.
Stan Tanner. Stanner McAvoy.
All right. We're going to wrap things up.
In the meantime, we should welcome to the stage to help us settle Seattle's search for the best taco/burrito.
I think it's just our search.
No. All of Seattle. Seattle Magazine is probably copying us 2 out of 3 years.
Welcome back to the pod. It's Third Felton Brother, the legendary hip-hop producer and half of the duo Tuxedo, Jake One. Yeah. All right, before we make
it's
our
not
pick.
Coming. Oh, okay.
It's coming.
Oh, my God. Are you wearing that Taco Time shirt?
Yeah, by the
Jake.
Way.
Sorry, check out this shirt.
Seattle's search for Seattle's
best
tacos.
I guess that's not technically the Taco Time shirt, but it's similar.
It's the same green, but yeah, not quite.
What an amazing shirt.
In the meantime, is anybody interested in a PeltonCast hat? Tell us your favorite Jake 1 beat.
Fuck John Cena.
Oh, anybody who says John Cena's actually...
No, John Cena works. That's cool, too. But yeah. This is a sore subject.
Tell us your favorite Jake 1 type beat. Okay, anyway. And we have...
Yeah, I did that one, I guess.
Oh, nice. Did you do that one?
I think I did that one.
He was high on Taco Time.
Yeah.
Okay. Tyler,
damn.
You want it? There you go.
All right. So
kind of true.
Beat from the physics.
Before we make our pick for Seattle's best taco/burrito, we wanted to get another perspective on this from a former third Pelton brother who also happens to be the WNBA's all-time leader in games, minutes, and assists.
Jake 1.
Sue Bird couldn't be here with us tonight.
Damn.
She's in Phoenix preparing for Game 3 of the Storm semifinal series against Phoenix. They are one game away from the WNBA Finals. A toast to that. Let's hear her pick.
Oh, tacos, chukis. That's my favorite taco right now. Yeah, is it chukis? Chukis?
Chukis. Yeah.
An excellent choice there because, of course, tacos, chukis is one of our two finalists. In this search that began on March 12th, we reviewed 19 locations, 18 of them as challengers to Tacos Chukis, which is the current belt holders, which is why I ate there 5 times in that span, and Tristan ate there 7 times. All right, here's our bracket. The number 1 seed, Asadero Prime, and the number 2 seed, El Camion, matched up in a hard-fought contest this week. Just El Camion. I was outvoted 2-1 on that one. So our final is Tacos Chukis versus Asadero Prime. All right, let's start with Jake's call.
This is really hard because I think it's kind of an apples and oranges situation. I was there at the beginning of Chukis when they arrived on Broadway. They had their little space. It's great. Chukis is fucking great. But Asadero?
Ooh.
Asadero maybe traveled to fucking Des Moines. I went to Des Moines.
Hey, careful how you say Des Moines.
I live in Capitol Hill. I have no purpose in Des Moines at all.
A little bit more respect on Des Moines' name.
I don't really think of them as like a taco thing. You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
So it's a little tricky. I think of more of a steak, though the Vampiros.
Those are tacos.
Probably is that a taco?
Absolutely.
I think. On a traditional level, I'm going to go with Chukis for tacos.
Okay. Well, so I voted against Asadero last week against El Camion. So I think you know what my pick is.
That was just fucking crazy.
Yes. Okay. So I said that El Camion was my favorite burrito in Seattle, but there's a good reason for that. And that's because one of the questions we started the search with was, what's better, the Tacos Chukis Baby Burrito or the Tacos Chukis House Taco? And I finally have come to a conclusion on that after eating there so many times this summer. The answer is the Tacos Chukis House Taco is the best taco or burrito in Seattle.
Why are people cheering for this? Because you're cheering for the Baby Burrito. You're cheering against the Baby Burrito, which is the best burrito in all of Seattle. Baby! We're the Baby Burrito fans out there. Fan?
That's like 3.
There are people booing the Baby Burrito.
I mean, that's harsh. That's harsh.
Who just said El Camion for life?
Infrared has all the contrarian takes tonight.
I hope you love beans.
All right, what's your choice, Tristan?
I mean, it's not a competition, right? Like, Asadero.
It's great.
It is an excellent place to go to. I love going to Asadero. I love the vibe.
Which is why you've been there 2 whole times in your life.
And, you know, every single one of those 2 whole times, I've had a great time. Tacos Chukis, I've been to 100 times. Who just said Chukis sucks? Okay, there we go.
Good, good.
Yes! Okay, this hurt you.
because this is the best burrito in Seattle. But it's not only the best burrito in Seattle. It's also the best taco in Seattle. It's also the best combo in Seattle. If you're having two tacos, two burritos, and two tecates, there's no competition here. This is it. This is what you're eating. Asadero Prime is a fine steakhouse, but Tacos Chuki's has no competitors in all of Seattle, Washington, in all of Portland, Oregon, in all of Boise, Idaho, in all of the Northwest. This is the best taco restaurant there is.
That was borderline Felton Castro.
Is Boise the Northwest?
In all of
I don't
Calgary,
claim them.
Alberta, Vancouver, whatever it's in.
British
Victoria.
Columbia. British Columbia. All right, all right. Well, okay, the last thing we have to do here.
Salt Lake City.
We invited you, the listener, to cast your vote for Seattle's best taco slash
vote.
Burrito.
You should give your vote,
I said it was Tacos Chuggies.
Okay.
Yeah. We invited you, the listener, to submit your vote, and the famous Cousin Katie has been tabulating those votes. The accounting firm of
Katie,
the famous Cousin Katie.
Katie seems like she hasn't been.
No, it doesn't seem like it.
She
does
very surprised.
Like she's seriously doing it. Oh, you sent me because you don't want to talk on the microphone. I see.
Katie.
Where is it?
By what?
Do
by
we have a count?
By a vote of what?
What, what was the write-in?
Seven?
Sevens are write-ins. Were they all
let's
for taco
them.
Time?
Let's hear them. Katie.
No, only one taco time.
Oh.
I've got a lot of problems with you people.
Here, you guys can read the write-ins.
Okay.
The main thing we learned is a lot of you didn't
there were
vote.
Seven write-ins. Taco time?
Never heard of it.
Gorditas?
Gorditos?
Tyler? Rancho Bravo, which I mean, come
hell
on.
Hell no, not Rancho Bravo.
Listen to Jake here. Taco time for life, which is counts as a vote actually for taco time.
Yes.
Taqueria El Rinconcito.
We actually didn't review them.
With the address, 140th Avenue. And Earl Thomas is worth three rins.
Nice. Someone listened to the podcast. I appreciate
agree.
That.
I suppose that Earl Thomas is worth three wins, but he's not the best taco slash burrito in Seattle. Jake, how do you feel about Tacos Chuggies being crowned the champion here?
I mean, they've come in and just had the best thing. The house taco is a given. You've seen them double the location of the space. I can't even go to the fucking one on Broadway because all these dickheads from UW are in there. And, you know, I found that it's
Hard
faster
agree.
To drive to Beacon Hill, you know, even though I live a good five blocks from Taco Chuggies on Broadway. Who goes to the Amazon one?
I mean, I went there last night because it was on my way to the store.
You've
game.
Actually been
Boo.
There? That's a real thing?
Boo! Wait, they still serve Tacos Chuggies,
no,
guys.
No, not the same.
All right, that doesn't count.
I'm
yeah,
not saying
I would
that
never.
Anyway,
I would never
actually,
support that.
Actually, Taco Time's the best taco slash burrito in Seattle.
Come on. Well, it was a WNBA-esque playoff format. They got to buy all the way to the final. All right, well, thanks so much to Jake for coming back and helping us settle the crown of Seattle's best taco slash burrito.
I think Chuggies I might have eaten 50 to 100.
Wow.
Probably at least 20 at Asadero.
Really?
So I think I have a lot of experience.
What about Taco Time?
I mean, Taco Time, somewhere 100 plus, obviously.
Triple digits. It was a cupcake schedule. All right, well, check back with us next summer when we search for Seattle's. Well, no, yeah, I mean, keep listening, but I'm just saying.
Just try to listen in the meantime.
I'm just saying our next search is going to be for Seattle's best at barbecue in the summer of 2019. Where we got to figure out between now and then whether Pecos Pit Barbecue holds the Tacos Chuggies.
No.
Like,
it's not
automatic.
Even close.
It's not open and shut like that.
Oh.
Yeah.
What is the favorite right now for best barbecue in Seattle?
Meaty Johnson's.
I've never heard of that.
On Pike.
I'm
is it Pike or Pine next to Baltic Room? That's the one.
Wow, people feel strongly about the wood shop.
Wood shop's good.
Jake.
no Pecos.
I haven't been there. I wouldn't say I'm the same connoisseur of barbecue as I am of tacos, so.
And so,
I wouldn't be the proper person to judge this.
You were the same connoisseur of barbecue that you were of tacos, what would you consider the best tacos in Seattle if you could consider every single tacos?
I've been real bougie lately, and I've been enjoying the light tacos at Taco Time. I know that sounds crazy. Have you ever had the Taco Time with the light cheese?
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know that was a thing, but okay.
I had no idea.
It's somewhere in the teens, like if we're at
the Taco Time, but it's already come out.
Then you get the chili if you're really trying to not, stay away.
Light meal, you get the crisp chicken taco with the chili.
No Mexi fries, you got the low fat cheese.
That is a disaster.
Used to be the number 7, they got rid of that.
Nobody was ordering that shit. Nobody.
Oh my god.
We could talk about Taco Time all night, as you can tell by this point. But sadly, I think it's time to bring this show to a close. So thanks. Yeah. I'm glad that we're not cheering that.
Did I give away all the cards?
I'm glad we're not cheering.
Everybody got them? I have a lot more Taco Time cards at home if anybody wants any. Okay. Mike, let me know.
We would like to thank Barboza for having us. Thanks to Tasteful Profanity, a Beast Mode production for helping us with the Seahawks season preview. Thanks to Jake. Thanks to DJ Infrared for hollering from the back of the room. Thanks to Isabel. Thanks to Little Woodies. Thanks to Taco Time Northwest.
Thanks to Chris for joining us for a talk in Taco Time. Thanks to the famous Cousin Katie. For the bingo and for her takes on Ballers on HBO.
And most importantly, thank you, the listener, for coming out tonight. We couldn't do this without you, so thanks so much.